Hey, Prime members, you can listen to Scream ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the app today.
You're listening to a Morbid Network podcast.
When you choose Organic Valley, not only will you be enjoying great tasting dairy, you'll help to save over 1,600 small organic family farms who are protecting over 400,000 acres of organic farmland and all the plants and animals that call it home. This is dairy you can feel good about. It's great tasting, high quality organic dairy, ethically sourced from small organic family farms. To find Organic Valley Dairy near you, visit ov.coop. That's ov.coop.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-.
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
And Ash.
And I'm Elena.
And I'm Drew.
And this is Scream with my fiance.
Hello.
Yay.
Drew, welcome back again. Lovely to have you on. Lovely to have you.
And thank you, Kaleem. I'm happy to be here.
Glad you're here to get freaky with us.
Oh, yeah. I have many thoughts about this movie.
As you should, as I'm sure we all do.
Do you really have many?
And there's just like a few scenes that like I just didn't really enjoy.
Agreed. There's a few things rolling around about this movie.
Yeah.
Pretty fair. So we're here today to discuss another film that was picked by the listeners through the horror movie requests at yahoo.com. This time we have Freaky from 2020 starring Vince Vaughn. It is an experience, and you know, Vince Vaughn isn't around in a ton of horror movies, but every time you see him around, he leaves an impression.
He certainly does. I feel like he just is this movie, to be honest.
Oh, yeah.
If he wasn't in this movie, it wouldn't be a movie.
For sure.
Like, it would not be a good one.
No, and I think it lives in the world where it's good. It's fine.
Because of Vince Vaughn.
You know, it's as good as a Vince Vaughn horror movie can get.
Exactly.
I mean, last time I remember seeing Vince Vaughn in a horror movie, Anne Heche's butthole was involved and he was being Norman Bates. So, like, I mean, it's different, but I'll take it.
A far cry,
one might say.
So if you guys don't know, this is basically a horror recreation of Freaky Friday. And I kind of assumed originally that, like, everyone would just know that. But I guess, you know, the remake of Freaky Friday with, like, Lindsay Lohan and Jamie Lee was in 2003. So it's very possible that, you know, people, like, under the age of 21 don't know what that is.
That's really wild to me.
Freaky Friday is one of my favorite movies in the entire world, and same for you.
Oh yeah.
Oh, it's legendary.
I feel like we all grew up on Freaky Friday. It was just such an iconic movie for our time. And something I hadn't realized, at least not for a long time, is that the Lindsay Lohan, Jamie Lee Freaky Friday was actually a recreation of a series of Freaky Fridays that started in 1976. But we'll get back to this movie. I really love that we now have a horror version of Freaky Friday. And I'm sure everyone knew what this was going into it, so I don't think we need a ton of explanation.
Well, and they named it Freaky, so you think like, oh, that's what's going to make everybody know that that's what this is.
That's what I thought.
Yeah.
Which makes sense. I'm glad they named it that because they had a couple other alternate titles. I know one of them was like Freaky the 13th or something. You know, let me just look these up real quick. There was a couple weird ones. They're like right on the IMDb.
Yeah, that's no good. And just as a little like side note, I recently had dental surgery, so I'm not going to be inputting a whole lot into this today, but I'm gonna, just so you know that I'm not just like not into this movie or this recording.
Elena is one of the chipmunks today.
I am. And I just don't want to start like actively bleeding in the middle of this. So I'm
I would also prefer if you ceased that activity or just never started it.
But, you know, just last day that I'll have to kind of ease up on the talking, I think.
Bummer.
I know. I'm sorry for everybody.
Yeah, don't bleed, bro.
Don't bleed, bro.
I know. And you're wearing white pants. That would suck.
That's why I'm just going to give my little 2 cents every now and then.
All right. You got to stop now.
Okay. I gave the whole 2 cents of that.
That's 1 cent.
That's it.
So the first title was Killer Body, which...
Stupid.
I mean...
I don't get it.
No.
It was changed to Freaky Friday the 13th.
Horrific.
Too close.
Too wordy.
I get where they were going with that one, but yeah, you're right.
No, Jamie Lee Curtis, so you can't do that.
Mm.
After watching the movie, it does make sense that they were going to call it Freaky Friday the 13th because they take a lot of inspirations from it and they really try to like go for that angle. And like, you know, they pay homages to it. Like, it's not like a blatant ripoff or anything like that. Like, I do really enjoy the homages that they do and whatnot.
Me too.
But that's a strange name. Freaky's fine.
It just doesn't roll off the tongue.
Oh, no. There's already an iconic movie called Freaky Friday. And
Friday the 13th.
Yeah, that's just like, mashing two movie titles together.
Yeah.
And can you imagine being like, oh, what are you going to go see? Freaky Friday the 13th. You run out of breath at the end of that.
The person is gone by the time you said all that.
They just think you're seeing Freaky Friday at that point.
And they're like, oh, that's airing again in theaters. I'll go with you.
Exactly. The whole world would be chaos, okay?
Maybe we would not be able to walk down the streets without just bursting into flames immediately.
It would be a mess.
So, Freaky is directed by Christopher Landon, who, Ash, I mean, you probably know and you probably know of these movies, but at the time when we covered them, it was just me and Elena. Drew, sorry, you weren't here either. But Christopher Landon is known as the writer of nearly every Paranormal Activity, but is also the director of Happy Death Day and Happy Death Day 2, and also wrote Happy Death Day 2, which we covered very early on in the show. I think that was like 5 and 6 or something like that.
Yeah, it was super early. So, I love those movies.
So lame that I was not here for those because I also love those movies. Yeah,
they were fun.
Classics. I remember how we got into that too. I originally wrote the notes for a horror soup episode and then I just, I don't know why, but I decided against doing it there. I was like, no, this isn't the mood. I was like, I think we'll just do it for Scream instead.
And then you had written it like a long time ago too. So while we were doing it, you were like, I don't remember any of these notes. And we were like, wait a second.
I love it.
I do remember that. Yeah, I think I wrote them like 3 or 4 months before. So I had no idea what was going on. I was like, shit, like I rewatched this movie. Movie, but I don't remember
why I wrote that.
Yeah, I was like, what are the points? What am I trying to get to?
You're like, I feel a different way.
The movie was also written by Christopher Landon, who we've already mentioned, as well as Michael Kennedy, who assisted in many roles behind the scenes of Family Guy, such as animation assistant, production assistant, and coordinator, IT support, and much more, in addition to also doing IT support on just as much American Dad. But as for his writing credits, they're aren't too many. He's credited as one of the writers on a straight-to-video movie in 2009 called Where Are You? He wrote 14 episodes of an animated show called Border Town, and then he wrote this, Freaky, with Christopher Landon. But I do follow him on Twitter, and he's a joy and seems like a great dude, so shout out.
He's a joy.
Shout out to that man's.
Do you guys have anything to say about like who it's starring? Do you have anything besides Vince Vaughn?
I do have something to say about Vince Vaughn.
I wasn't expecting that. I was like, what do you
I was
to
about
say?
To say I have something to say about Vince Vaughn, and you said other than Vince Vaughn. And,
and you're like, welp.
I think you should say what you have to say about Vince Vaughn.
Let the words fall out.
So for the longest time, I didn't like Vince Vaughn because I'm like, this is just some dude who plays the same character in every single movie. But I do enjoy Four Christmases. I don't know if anyone
with
has
Reese
seen
Witherspoon.
It. Yeah, with Reese Witherspoon. Yes. Because the backstory is that they hated each other on set. So that's why I enjoy that movie.
Like Reese and Vince?
Yeah, they hate each other.
I love that.
Yeah, they like, and you can, if you watch it, you can like feel the tension.
Oh, I love when that shit happens.
I mean, they hate each other in the movie, basically. So it's like,
so it worked out.
Yeah.
That's funny.
Anyway, that's all I gotta say.
Wait, but Drew, did you come back to Vince Vaughn? Because I feel like you said you didn't like him, but then you never gave me any reason to why you would like it. Did you come back? Do you like Vince Vaughn?
I just
now?
Wanted to say that I just never really liked Vince Vaughn, but I do enjoy Four Christmases.
But you so. Like it because someone you like didn't like him?
You respect it.
It's just a good movie.
But is Vince Vaughn the reason it's good?
Vince Vaughn's hatred is the reason.
That's what it feels yeah. like.
It's the hate that Vince Vaughn and Reese Witherspoon have had for each other.
I love that.
Well, did you like Vince Vaughn in this role? Like, did he show you something different?
I think that's a very valid reason.
Yeah. And like, I like this movie. It was good. I feel like the way that he runs in this movie is the way I run.
It is. Can yeah. confirm.
That's it. That's all I gotta say.
I love it. Go. I think we got somewhere.
I feel like I'm not making any more sense.
No, you are. You are.
No, loud and clear.
Honestly, I get it. I respect it.
Yeah. Yeah. I know this is a horror movie podcast, but I'm gonna bring up Christmas movies. So.
That's how you know Ash and Drew are anywhere,
which is pretty horrible. So that makes sense.
What? I love Christmas movies.
To be fair, I'm just going to be comparing every scene to Wedding Crashers. So, I mean,
there you go.
This is going to go where it's going to go.
That's all it can go.
We're ride or die here.
So Freaky has a budget of $6 million. It has a box office of $16.2 million. So it made a good amount of money back. And this also released, I think, in like November of 2020. So pretty deep into the COVID stuff. Not too bad.
No, definitely for COVID times.
We have an 83% by the critics on Rotten Tomatoes and an 80% by the audience, which good on them. You know, that's a not bad score. On IMDb, we go that's a little really bit good. Lower. We have a 6.3 out of 10. But yeah, you can currently watch Freaky on HBO Max. I don't know how long that'll last, but at the time of this recording, you can watch Freaky on HBO Max.
That's where we watched it.
That's where we watched it too.
Oh my God.
I said me. Me.
That's where me watched it.
That's where me watched it too.
So guys, any initial thoughts about Freaky before we get into this bad boy?
I would say overall, what I already said, that if Vince Vaughn was not in this movie, it probably wouldn't be as good as it is. That's my takeaway.
Fair. I think that this is Vince Vaughn doing a remake of The Hot Chick.
Oh, man.
The way that me and my friend Kaylee had that entire conversation just mere hours ago.
Yeah, it really is.
That just blew my mind.
I was waiting for it's me, Jessica.
And that's so funny because I said that earlier.
What's so weird too is that I watched this movie a couple days ago, took the notes, blah, blah, blah. And then last night or the night before, I randomly put on The Hot Chick because I'm just scrolling through movies and I was trying to find something
to
watch. It's
a good-ass movie.
Yeah, I love The Hot Chick, classic. And I put it on and I didn't even realize that they had like any similarities, but then I'm watching it and I go, wait a second. I just watched this movie a couple days ago, and I was like, wait, no, but I haven't watched The Hot Chick in a while. And then I thought about it, and I went, no, Freaky is the same movie.
It's just with murder.
It's just horror The Hot Chick, because it is Freaky Friday, but it's way more The Hot Chick than it is Freaky Friday.
I agree. And what a mashup for someone to think about for a horror movie, for a slasher flick, to be like, I'm going to take bits of Freaky Friday, I'm going to take bits of The Hot Chick and I'm going to mash them together with Friday the 13th and see what the fuck comes out.
Like, you know that those thoughts were high thoughts.
Because it's like that, what a bold move. Yeah. It was a bold move.
I do want to talk to the casting director though, because, okay, Vince Vaughn, it worked out pretty well. I'm pretty glad it happened just because I get to see Vince Vaughn like prancing around looking like a fool. Honestly, it's great.
running like true.
Yes. Yeah. But I would have loved to see Rob Schneider reprise his role.
It would have been good.
I don't know, man. I think missed opportunity. But I guess with that, do you guys want to get into Freaky?
Into it. Let's go.
So Freaky opens on Wednesday the 11th, and we know that thanks to the bloody text. And we hear a brief story about a geriatric serial killer before a guy named Isaac spills an entire cup of drink on his friend and has to be told that he should apologize. Usually when you spill a drink on someone, I feel like you just know to apologize.
Yeah. That's usually how that goes.
That's my instinct.
Yeah, it's not his instinct. He's kind of a douche about it. He doesn't want to apologize, but he ends up following this girl Sandra into this insanely fancy historic house. And he immediately ditches her, breaks an expensive bottle, and then starts yelling about how it isn't his fault for, like, breaking the bottle. But no one else is there. He's kind of just talking to himself like, it's not my fault I broke the bottle.
Just convincing himself.
So now at this point, I wasn't sure if this guy was going to be around for a while or not, but I was looking forward to my experience if he happened to, you know, not stick around. So lucky for me and everyone else involved, a random man in a mask pops up next to Isaac and he grabs his bottle and sticks it down his throat. But it's really cool because he sticks it like it's the, you know, drinking end, the mouth end first. Yep. And then it kind of just blows out his throat.
Oh, yeah. Watching it, you can like feel it happening immediately. Yeah. I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah. And then doesn't he like crush the bottle down?
Then he steps on his throat. Yeah.
Did he step on his throat? I don't even remember that. Nice.
Or he like steps on the bottle at least.
Yeah.
Like he crushes the bottle. So it, like, shatters in
his
throat. Oh,
even when it breaks in his... Oh, I thought you meant, like, he stepped on his neck or something after. Okay, gotcha.
But he's... I think he steps on something to make that happen.
You, like, when he jams it down his throat?
Yeah.
I don't know, yeah.
Because like, the last shot you see is, like, the glass coming out of his neck,
the glass
right?
coming out of his throat.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
We're on the same page. We're saying the same thing.
I love fucked up deaths like this. Like...
This movie has a lot of good kills,
and
I would say.
And these... This is my favorite part of the movie. It's, like... these particular scenes where it's just like over the top ridiculous deaths.
Yeah, they definitely brought this up a little bit because in Happy Death Day, I think if I remember right, it was PG-13, so the kills weren't like that cool. They were fine and it was fun,
but they were right there. Yeah.
Okay, well, I guess I'll just say it immediately. I enjoy Happy Death Day more than I do this movie.
Same.
But I do enjoy this more than I do Happy Death Day 2.
I don't know if I've seen Happy Death Day 2 actually, now that I think about it.
I don't know which one I enjoy more.
Yeah, I mean, they're kind of close, but...
Yeah.
I don't really remember much from Happy Death Day. Doesn't, like, she, like, get possessed or something, the girl in it?
In Happy Death Day, it's basically just, like, horror Groundhog Day. She just keeps living the same day over and over again, dies, comes back.
Yep.
I love that he just picks, like, other movies that are not at all horror movies to base his horror movies on.
Oh, yep.
Like Groundhog Day, Happy Death Day. Like Freaky he's just Friday. Grabbing like comedies, like lighthearted jaunts to turn into complete horror slasher films.
Yeah, I think one of the pitches for this was Freaky Death Day, so it was kind of going to be a crossover between the two.
Oh, cool.
It has the same, like a similar vibe.
Mm-hmm.
It definitely feels very much the same.
Yeah.
So the next person to go is Sandra, because in the beginning of the movie, we're kind of just going through killing all these people, like... I think we had, what, like 4 or 5 people that we killed, like, right off the bat?
I think 4.
Sandra gets brutalized when the killer waddles into the bathroom and slams her head in between a toilet and its lid, which I also like. She got crushed.
Mm-hmm.
That gave me a headache almost immediately. Like, I was like, I maybe it's the empath in me. I swear I, like, feel things when they happen to other people, and I'm like, I don't need that to happen to my brain.
That's what a migraine feels like.
I thought of you, actually. I was like, I guarantee you that is what a migraine feels like.
Can't confirm.
Yep.
Cannot, but whoa.
On the other side of things, their two other friends were having doggy-style sex on the hood of a car until the chick splats and before the man splats in order to switch up the standard, you know? You gotta splat differently.
It also, like kind of, like, flicks to that scene of them, like, fucking really quickly. And I just remember, like, looking down and looking up and being like, what the fuck? Like, did we miss, like, a whole chunk?
Yeah, it happened so fast.
Drew's like, no, we didn't miss anything.
That kid looked a lot like Zach Morris. Was it just me?
From Saved by the Bell?
Yeah.
Oh, you're I thought right, it
was
actually. Him.
Because I thought it was a flashback, and I thought the other kid was Vince Vaughn's character from when he was a kid.
I think that kid plays Zach Morris's son on the reboot, actually. Are you serious? I think I remember
that.
Reading that somewhere, actually.
That's funny. It makes sense. Good casting, because it looks just like him.
Yeah, I know there's someone in the movie that was that. It had to have been him. I mean, if you thought he looked like Zach Morris, I'm sure it's him.
Yeah. Look at you, Bubba. Delivering.
While the dude is begging for a simple old hand job on a tennis court, the killer walks up behind the guy and casually splits a tennis racket in half with pure brute strength and then slams each side of this broken tennis racket into this guy's head, just like on the side. It kind of looks like a Franken racket.
Yeah, it's a little wild.
I love how over the top it is.
And just right off the bat, too.
Oh, it's the best. It just, like, hits you.
You know what you're getting into.
I did like this beginning.
Yeah, it's fun. I like creative kills. I like when you use weird objects to kill people, and you do it in very extravagant ways that would never exist. Yeah, like,
absurd.
It's always fun. So, obviously, the chick starts running when she sees this whole tennis racket in your head conundrum. And the killer starts to very calmly chase after her. And the man is running at her in a very Jason Voorhees-like manner. So, I mean, you feel Friday the 13th all throughout the beginning of this. Because even his mask very much looks like a hockey mask. It's kind of goofy and like...
like warped.
What would you say it's made out of or what exactly it looks like? It's definitely hockey mask-esque, but...
it's like almost like a shiny burlap-y look to it. But it's not burlap, you know what I mean? Like that... I don't know how to describe it.
It's
like a warped hockey mask.
Yeah, I feel like it's like a combination of Jason, Freddy, and Michael Myers and fucking Leatherface.
Just all of
literally
them combined.
Just all combined in one.
I didn't even think it does have a Michael Myers-y.
Drew's like, all right, guys, I got this horror thing on lock. It is every single person masked together, and you know what? Boom. This is all what I love, it. Drew.
I wanted to show you my knowledge.
You nailed it.
You did. You nailed it. You hit all the like A plus ones.
Drew's like, my waves will echo farther than ever.
This also, I forgot to say, when the bottle was down his throat, that kill, how over the top it was, reminded me of Unfriended, when they shoved the straightening iron down, or the curling iron down her throat.
Yes.
It gave me that, and how much we loved that, how we were like, that's amazing.
Same vibes.
It gave me that vibe.
I think I read somewhere that in the movie, like, Sorority Row, and then one of the movie, it's like the same kill, but I haven't seen Sorority Row, so I didn't really care to mention that. It did kind of remind me of Mirrors 2 when Cheddar Bob from 8 Mile got, like, destroyed because some glass. Cheddar I think he ate some glass and then he swallowed it and it starts, like, you know, going through his throat and stuff, just ripping out. And it reminded me of that.
Yeah.
All right.
I could see that.
But as for this Jason dude that's chasing after this chick, he's throwing spears at her. She eventually hides in a closet. Again, standard Friday the 13th stuff. And I guess, I don't know if this was, it probably wasn't written into the movie exactly, but that closet was actually just on set, like the secret little compartment in the closet. So I think they randomly just decided, you know what, go hide in that Narnia looking bitch.
go to Narnia, bitch.
So the killer doesn't find her. Turns out she was in fact in a lion, a witch, and a wardrobe. He finally grabs her and he kills her by stabbing her onto a hook of sorts, which felt like a lot of things. I mean, it definitely is like a direct homage to Halloween. I think Halloween 2, if I remember right, because Michael stabbed, or no, I think it's the original. I can't remember. Some horror head is screaming at me right now. Who cares? but Michael like stabs a dude and has him like, you know, hanging on a wall with the knife in him. And then he tilts his head after. And this Jason looking dude does the same thing.
Very much an homage. Oh, I can't remember if that's the first one or the second one. That's driving me crazy.
I know. I was just trying to go through my head and be like, what movie was, like, which one was that?
Yeah.
Because I watched those recently. So I'm like actually very disappointed in myself right now.
I'm pretty sure it's the original, honestly.
I thought it was too. That was my initial thought.
I'm not putting anything set in stone. I don't want to get messaged about it. It's fine.
Maybe it's the first
we
one.
We will now.
So it also kind of felt a little Texas Chainsaw too, but then I also felt like Linnea Quigley's death in Silent Night, Deadly Night. So it felt like a lot of things. I don't know. I like when people get hooked onto things and they're floating in the air, you know?
Yeah, that's fun.
Yeah.
We love a hook through a body moment.
So after she's done up, the killer walks up to a mirror and we hear a key, 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 ma, ma, ma kind of thing. It's definitely a little different, but we all know what it is.
Off-brand key, key, key.
And he reveals himself to be the wedding crasher himself, Vince Vaughn, which to be fair, I mean, every trailer and everything on the cover and every like advertisement, we all know who it's Vince Vaughn. Like unless you have not seen anything physical to do with this movie, you already know it's Vince Vaughn going into it, but it is pretty funny before he takes off his mask when you just see his hair and his head shape kind of like in the back. It just looks like him, which I guess I could be wrong. Maybe he wasn't the killer walking around with the mask, but I feel like he was because it, or they just got someone with a really good Vince Vaughn build because that looked like Vince Vaughn from the back.
And dome shape. That's like, that's hard to get spot on.
Trust me, I know the back of Vince Vaughn when I see it.
He has a ridiculous back of the head.
Just the whole back of his body, honestly.
We all know it. We all love it. The back
of your body is ridiculous.
So it seems Vince was looking for a fancy magic dagger. I don't know where he learned of it or where he found it. Did they mention that? And did I just overlook it? I don't think
they say where this thing... Like, later on, they tell you the history of it, but we don't know how Vince Vaughn gets it. And it's honestly very confusing because obviously it's supposed to be like satanic and like crazy and like a ritual. And you're like, and I'm supposed to believe that Vince Vaughn is doing that?
They like showed it in the beginning when those kids were getting like killed. They like passed. It was like right before they started getting killed and they like panned over and the knife was like in a box.
Oh.
And there was like no explanation like. It's as to what there. It was doing there.
Yeah.
No, because they say that one of the girls' dad, I forget what house they were at, but one of the girls that got killed, her dad was like a history buff and he like collected all kinds of like old artifacts and shit. Yeah. So that makes sense. Good call.
Yeah, but like where did Vince come from and why did he know, like how did he know the knife was there?
That's
yeah.
the thing. Why was he coming for
and
it?
It just happened to be like 2 days before Friday the 13th and the spell thing was going to happen. Like, I don't know, it's sus.
That's all he had to say was like, I read about it in a book.
I know. I was going to say.
Just tell us.
He's like, I know that it sold on auction to this guy, so I decided to kill his kids and take it.
He's like, I read books, guys.
He's a well-read mofo.
Yeah, so we got there. That's my one question. I get that he went in there. He took it from this house. Whatever, you know, they explain the dad is a fucking collector of magic demon knives. Whatever, that's fine. You said it. You just mentioned it, so you gave me enough explanation. But why is Vince Vaughn here? He obviously knows something, but he's just, I thought he was just some dumb serial killer. He seems like it, but... there's something else going on.
Like, I don't know.
But whatever. Doesn't matter. He has a dagger. After it's found, homegirl's parents get home worrying about how their daughter's behaving, but she's actually dead right in front of them. And right here, they're kind of homaging the original Scream, you know, like Drew Barrymore's parents getting home, which I feel like they did it pretty well. The Scream was good.
It was a good Scream. I agree.
And then that's when we get the title card. I would say the title card was pretty cool. It looks... Again, I would say it all looks very Friday the 13th-ish, but this one is a little different, and it kind of just pans off to the side. All the letters just get a little far apart, and I don't know. It's the simple things for me. I like it.
It's very, like, on the theme of, like, the Death Day movies, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, same kind of vibe.
Mm-hmm. And I will say, this is a good slasher through and through. I feel like they follow all the rules of a slasher, and it's fun because of that.
Agreed.
Agreed.
So after the title card, we move up to Thursday the 12th. And we meet Millie, who seems to be our main character. Millie, who is played by Catherine Newton, who can be found in Paranormal Activity 4 as Alex, which was also written by Christopher Landon, which is, I'm pretty sure, kind of how she got into this whole thing. And she is also on Supernatural as Claire Novak. You guys don't watch Supernatural, right?
No.
No, I feel like I want to because people are so into Supernatural that I feel like I'm missing something, but haven't gotten around to it.
They have, like, a wild fan base.
Yeah, that's the thing. I'm like, I just want to know what it's about.
Yeah, I see, like, it all the time.
Yeah, it gets real intense. So, like, I think you guys are great. I'm sure the show is wonderful.
And she is also Lucy in both Detective Pikachu and the Post Malone and Young Thug music video Goodbyes. So, you know, she's all over the place. Catherine Newton, shout out Catherine Newton. Millie has a sister named Charlene, who is a cop, played by Dana Drury, who is the lead Tara. Who is the lead Tara in the Into the Dark movie, Tentacles?
Haven't seen it.
Into the Dark is just all over them, though, man. It seems like everyone is doing an Into the Dark movie at some point that's in the horror world.
I love that.
And finally, she has a mother named Carol Kessler, who is played by Katie Finneran. I thought Katie Finneran was cool because her first ever role is in the 1990 Night of the Living Dead remake as Judy Rose. So shout out. That's a cool first role.
Oh, shit. That is.
The introduction of Millie's family members is pretty short-lived, and we move on and meet her friends Nyla and Josh, respectively played by Celeste O'Connor from the newest Ghostbusters remake, and Misha Osherovich.
You did it.
From indie stuff. He's from indie stuff.
Okay. We love to hear it.
We learn a little bit about each of their respective characters and that Josh is confidence master, Nyla is a supportive friend, and Millie is beat up in the mental because of family trauma related to a dead dad. That'll do it to you.
That will do it 9 out of 10 times.
Maybe like 8 out of 10.
Yeah, I like that better.
You know, we'll just be a little...
Maybe even 7 out of 10, just to be...
I'd say a good amount do. I'd say the majority rules here.
Yeah, we'll say 7.5.
We respect your trauma, Millie. Also, can we talk about the guy that barks and flexes at Millie in the hallway? Because that's kind of a thing that she seems to be experiencing in her day-to-day in this high school.
It's also just like, if you're doing that to somebody, you are the problem.
Most likely.
You, no, 10 out of 10 times, no debate, you are the problem, sir. Get away from me.
There was also a girl named Ryler. I would say she's the problem because the name Ryler, that's not a good name.
She was the one that, spoiler alert, they're going to put in the Cairo machine later.
Next up, a teacher makes Millie cry. This is a guy that's just going to be saying obscene things to her kind of this whole time. He has a very long handlebar mustache. Cool guy.
This man, no teacher would get away with this. I would have that man fired immediately.
I think there were definitely teachers like this, though. I've experienced them. They're around.
They won't exist these days anymore, though, because you can't say shit, so.
No, maybe not. But, you know, Alan Ruck, you do your thing right now, buddy, in this movie.
Hell yeah.
Apparently, Ryler started a rumor about Ginny getting a carrot stuck in her pussy. That's just a side note.
That is something that happened.
So things keep moving fast, homecoming happens, and Millie is in the mascot costume, which happens to be a beaver, and her being bullied continues when someone on the football team throws a soda at her and says that she is the only beaver that no one wants to touch or something like that, and, you know, make it a joke about her vagina, if you don't know, of beavers are sometimes referred to as vaginas for anyone that isn't aware.
Yes.
So they make a joke about putting a paper bag over her head, but like, you know, she's not even ugly. So like, poor girl, she's just getting roasted for no reason.
Yeah. Yeah. My God. Also, like, why are we trying to pretend that like kids are just voluntarily being mascots? Like, and this girl is like, I don't know. I just, you know.
Well, people do voluntarily be mascots.
Who's that person?
What do you mean? Like a mascot person?
Who is that person that's volunteering to be the mascot? Actually,
I don't know.
Cousin Greg.
I actually volunteered to be Chucky when I worked at Chuck E. Cheese very often, even though that wasn't my position. So maybe people are volunteering to be a mascot.
They definitely are. Somebody maybe. Has to be.
I mean, I don't know. I'm also tired of high school kids, like especially high school boys in movies looking like they're like 75 years old.
Yeah.
That is a recurring issue in horror movies specifically.
Yeah.
Which guy do you think looked like insanely old in this one?
I was going to say, because honestly, this one, they do kind of, like, most of them look like high school students.
I'm just being a hater, okay?
doesn't come with a single receipt.
So Millie's mom is hammered and forgets to pick Millie up after the game. That's
so am I. No, I'm kidding. That was a joke.
To be fair, if I had a kid named Millie, I'd probably get drunk and forget to pick her up after the homecoming game. You never know what's...
You're the one that named her Millie, though. You did that to her.
Whoever else was involved shouldn't have let me name her Millie, because it's not my fault at that point.
Maybe her name is Mildred.
Oh. Oh. Anyway... Her sister shows up and calls. Sorry, Mildreds. Sorry to all Mildreds. So her sister shows up and calls, but it's right as Millie's phone dies. And now the chick is trapped at school in the dark because of all of the lights that just shut off. That happens at night sometimes, I guess. I think at night is usually when you need the lights. I don't know why they shut off.
I think the butcher turns them off.
You think Vince Vaughn did it?
Because that happened in when he was killing all the first kids, too.
You're right. He is a, you know, he's a very whimsical guy.
He's a master at knowing where the circuit breaker is.
He's a master at switching light switches on and off.
He's an environmental activist. He's saving energy.
What if he installed solar panels, but it was nighttime, so, you know, they'd have to charge
maybe
up the
that's
next
the
day.
Root of his rage,
oh,
is the electricity problem. And he wants everyone to get solar power, like, panels, but no one's doing it. And his rage has led him to being, like, a brutal murderer.
And a devil worshiper.
I 100% get that. He keeps showing up. He's turning off the lights, and then people turn them back on, and he's sick of it. And he doesn't have enough time to, you know, re-explain to them over and over again, hey, you got to shut the lights off. So he takes them out.
Yeah, I like it. And he's like, Satan wouldn't stand for this shit.
I think he's a provider to the people, really.
Yeah. Climate change activist.
Yes. Yes.
Good for him. Fighting the good fight.
I think we cracked this code, and I think we found out what this movie is actually about.
I love it.
So it doesn't take long until Mr. Vince Voorhees pops up in front of Millie and starts heading toward her. And I would say he's pretty fast. He's not as slow as he was previously.
Yeah, I felt like... for a second, I was like, did I look away for too long? And is there like a specific reason he wants to get her?
I didn't know why he was going after anyone. I think he's just having fun.
He's the, well, what is it? What's the town's name in this movie?
That is a great question.
Something. It starts with a B and they would call him the blank boobs. Butcher.
Oh, you're right. The boobs
the
butcher.
The boobs butcher. Boobs.
Boobsville.
Boobsville, Boobsville butcher. Boobsville America.
Oh, the bake something.
Baker's boobs.
Bakersfield.
That sounds about
right. I'm
gonna
Google it.
He's the Bakersfield butcher.
I think it is. I'm gonna look.
Even
it
if
up,
it's not, though. That's what it is now.
The fuck is this movie called? Why can't I think of the name of this movie that we're recording?
Right? Funky.
Freaky. The Blissfield butcher.
Okay.
Blissfield.
I think Bakersfield is better. Bakersfield.
I kind of like Bliss.
Okay.
Well, yeah, he's pretty blissful. He has bliss.
I would argue that he has no bliss.
I would say Vaughn has a lot.
I would say Vaughn has a lot. I would say the Blissfield Butcher is a bitch.
Is his name just the Blissfield Butcher? Does he have a regular name? Because I just call him Vince Vaughn, and I'm not going to...
I think it was like the Blissfield Butcher, but then they would just call him the Butcher.
Is his name like Michael or something?
That'd be funny.
Because when they switched, like, and she was in his body, she would be like, I know you think I'm the Butcher.
Oh, yeah.
So I think they just referred to him as that.
I think you're right. I'm looking at IMDb, too, and it just says The Butcher. So,
yeah.
Okay, that's fair. I'm just going to keep calling him Vince Vaughn. It works. This is going to get real confusing soon, though, once they switch bodies, but that's all right.
Yeah.
So right now, he's going to pop out, and he's going to go to stab her, but she removes his mask because she kind of gets a little swing on him, and then he stabs her. Her removing the mask didn't do much. She still gets stabbed in the end.
She just sees him.
But she sees him. So he stabs her, and the moon does a moon thing, and his weird little red eye knife glows, and they both bleed. And then the sister shows up, shoots, and then he runs off, and he leaves the little red eye knife there. So after the whole stabbing happens, they go to the police station, standard procedures, all that good stuff. You know, after your mother lets you get stabbed because she was drunk, you got to go and, you know, handle your business at the police station.
As one does. The weird thing, though, is that I feel like, because obviously, like, we were just, I was going to say we were just saying, but we edited that out. The weird thing is, though, I feel like she starts acting weirdly at the police station, like they already have switched bodies, but then they switch bodies like at midnight or something.
Mm-hmm.
Did you catch that?
Yeah, I think they switch. I mean, I don't. It's probably midnight. That would make the most sense. But it's definitely like after she goes to bed. I think she was just acting weird because she's about to switch
she got stabbed.
You know, one of those things.
Yeah, I was just thinking about that, and I was like, maybe that's why she was acting so weird.
I mean, you usually don't act normal after you get stabbed.
No.
So what happens next? I guess would only be surprising to you if you've never seen Freaky Friday. But like I said earlier, I guess that's pretty possible at this point. For that reason, I'll explain real quickly. Millie's brain is now in Vince Vaughn's body, and Vince Voorhees' brain is now in Millie's body. And what I liked about Millie's side of waking up in Vince's body is that the title card for Friday the 13th popped up on the screen when she looked in the mirror, which, kind of fun, you know?
I did like that. Little nod.
And right when she turns around, she's presented with a homeless man in her face asking for drugs. They believe that they've confirmed that Vince Millie has drugs, because they're asking if they look like a little, you know, petite blonde girl.
He's like, I know you have drugs.
It's like, you definitely have drugs because you definitely don't look like a little petite blonde girl, Vince Vaughn.
No.
So the dude says, I really like the line when they're like departing from each other.
I love this part.
Because this dude looks and he goes, I'll suck your dick. all of it.
All of it.
Yeah.
We were watching with one of my friends earlier and she was like, why did he say all of it? And I was like, I don't know. I guess he's like assuming.
You know, it's a nice little touch. You know, some people don't go for all of it. He's going to do all of it.
Yeah, it's very nice. He's going to work for what he needs.
So on Millie's side, Vince is getting used to... Oh, God, this is where it gets confusing.
Because they switch and you're like, how do I say this?
Yeah, so this is where everything's going to get very confusing because they're in different bodies. So we will try to do our best to make it cleared, you know, who's in whose. Basically, I think for the most part in my notes, when I, you know, when Millie is in Vince's body, you know what? I think I go back and forth. This is going to be hard, guys.
Well, watch the movie and you'll know what we're saying.
Yeah, if you watch the movie, you'll definitely know what's going on in each scene. But...
And if not, it'll be a fun mental gymnastics exercise for
you'll figure it out.
Yeah, you'll do great, sweetie. We believe in you.
So we're now at Millie.
We're at Millie's house.
So now we're at Millie's house and Vince Vaughn is inside of Millie's body. He is getting used to being a blonde girl with a mother that makes him food, and he shoves it into his mouth like a maniac, which I feel like he was eating before this. Was he? Did he not have food? They didn't even tell us like his background or anything. I guess maybe, is he usually sleeping at those homeless encampments? Maybe he doesn't have food. That would make sense.
That's what I kind of thought, because he like wakes up there. So I think we're supposed to believe that he's homeless.
Yeah. Yeah, I got that vibe.
I just always assume this guy's crashing weddings, so he always has a place to stay.
Well, maybe that's the problem, is that there wasn't a wedding this week, and that's why he was so pissed, and that's why he stabbed Millie about it, because he had nowhere to go.
Do you think him and Owen Wilson are just beefing?
Maybe he's, like, looking for Owen Wilson.
You know, that could be it.
Yeah.
Maybe that's why he's killing.
He'll crash a wedding. He's like, I don't know of any weddings this weekend, but maybe my boy Owen does, and let me just stab these teenagers along the way.
Well, maybe this all makes sense, because I was very confused. I didn't know why he was acting like he'd never been a human before, seen a human before, anything of the sort. I mean, it was like when Vince Vaughn was in Vince Vaughn's body, he was kind of just being Vince Vaughn, but like, you know, as a killer. But then once he goes into Millie's body, his demeanor changes completely.
I know. I think one of if there is a problem with this movie, I think one of the problems is that we just like don't really get a lot of backstory on who actual Vince Vaughn is. Like the butcher.
Well, it's like he like goes into her body, and then the first day like at her house, like with her mom, he's like being weird and like not speaking. And then like later that day, like he's like totally like gets it and is using like being a teenage girl to his advantage.
For sure, you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, yeah.
I would say something like that's going on. I just feel like the acting was a little bit off. Maybe it was just that. It might have just been the acting was a little off for the first couple of days, or like, you know, how it was. I don't know. It just, something felt a little not there. But it's fine.
I get it.
It's fine. We'll get to it.
They got there.
So he tries to kill him being Vince Vaughn in Millie's body, Millie's sister, and he terribly fails. He kind of like walks up behind her with a knife, and then his mom or Millie's mom just walks up and goes, oh, I'll grab that, honey, and just grabs it right out of his hand.
And didn't think anything of it. She was literally holding a knife to her sister's back, and then the mom's just like, oh, I'll take it.
Because she's probably still drunk from last night.
That's a good point.
True.
She's probably still drunk, and I think she's just not an attentive parent to begin with, so she probably doesn't care. But it also could just be the thing where it's like Millie's so good that she would never think anything of it. Even when she's holding the knife in front of her earlier, Charlene's kind of just looking at her going, all right, you gonna put that down? Fucking weirdo. Moving on.
Like, everybody's just like, what's going on here?
Yeah, I think Millie's just like goody-goody, so they kind of just let her point knives at people at will. It's fine, Drew. It's fine.
What? Everything's fine.
It's fine.
Yeah.
We're fine.
Yeah, I'm cool.
So Millie, Vince Vaughn in Millie's body eventually decides to go to school because more victims for him to kill. So we're back to Millie in Vince Vaughn's body, and she sees someone that she knows. It's Mr. Daniel and his wiener dog, and she tries to reach out to him, but being that she is in a like 6 foot, how tall is Vince Vaughn? He's tall as shit.
I'll Google it.
I think he's like 6'7" or like something like insane.
How tall is Vince Vaughn?
Vince Vaughn is 6'5".
Okay.
He's a tall boy. He's taller than John.
Yeah, that is a tall man's.
That's me and Elena's like unit of like measurement for all things tall. We're like, well, John's 6'3", so if anybody's taller than that, they're fucking huge.
Fair assessment, man. Good job, Vaughn. You're a tall man's. So yeah, she is in the body of a 6'5" man. So it's not going over well when she's trying to reach out to people acting like a little blonde girl. They all scream, "It's him!" And then Vince Vaughn screams like a girl, which is, you know, this is fun. This is the first instance we get of him acting like a little fool.
It makes the whole entire movie.
If this movie didn't have that, it'd be horrible.
It'd be pretty unenjoyable without it. Like, it'd still have good kills and stuff, but Vince Vaughn is what ties it all together.
Yeah, absolutely.
So Millie is still trying to navigate being in the body of a killer, and Vince is hanging out with Millie's main bully, who just called him a ugly, sweaty, horrendous piece of shit, which is a compliment in its own right.
Maybe.
I take it as a compliment.
If you're into that shit.
Yeah, if that's what you're into. That's your kink.
So this seems to make him a little annoyed. And mind you, this isn't Vince and Vince's body, 6'5", and looking like a brick wall. This is Vince and Millie's body. So I think he takes even more offense to that. He's like, wow, I just left this Vince Vaughn-looking body. Now I'm here, and I'm still being attacked.
I know, yeah.
So he's a little annoyed, and he suggests that they go someplace private together. And she does. This girl shows up. This was, what was her name? I think this was Ryler. This was Ryler.
Yes, yep.
So Ryler shows up, and she kind of thinks that Millie is coming on to her, and she calls her a clam digger and a vagitron. Oh, no, a vegetarian, I'm sorry.
Classic. Classic.
High school's fun.
Classic. I think vagitron works there, too. She should have also called her vagitron.
Vagitron.
that's a compliment.
Vagimus Prime. That's good stuff. But here's the thing. Here's the thing, guys. Millie.
It's not Millie.
Millie wasn't digging for clams. She didn't want them.
No.
She didn't want the clams, all right?
Millie's not even there right now, actually. Millie's body is there.
And also, you know, Vince Vaughn, I don't even know if he likes women.
What?
Well, not actual Vince Vaughn, but Vince Vaughn in the movie.
I don't think he likes anyone.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I feel like I'm getting, like, asexual vibes. Like, he's kind of just around to kill people.
He's not a girl's girl.
No.
Well, maybe he, like, derives, like, pleasure from that, from killing.
True.
So he's attracted to killing.
You know, you're one of those idea girls.
That's me. That's me, baby.
So this girl walks off for a moment to pee, and when she leaves the bathroom, she comes across Vince Vaughn's body in the shower, because I guess Millie didn't know where else to go. It's pretty funny that she goes, she's like, you know what? I'm in a giant man's body, like a 40-something, 50-something-year-old man's body. I am going to go to a high school to shower.
Yeah, that was interesting. And I'm like, where are all the teachers at this school? Like, there's literally not, everything's empty.
There's only that one guy who's a dick.
Which guy?
The teacher.
Mr.
Cameron.
The guy with the handlebar mustache, the big old mustache.
What is Cameron from?
It's his character from Ferris Bueller.
Ferris Bueller, thank you.
So my next point of interest is more of a question. Why does a school have a cryogenic freezing chamber?
Thank you. Yeah. Because I was like, but what purpose does that serve in the locker room?
And why is it so easy to control and get down to -300 degrees?
I think that even if you have that, there should be some kind of safety lock on it that doesn't let you freeze someone to the point that their bones will just fall apart
just
if you flick them.
Just like a quick down to 300.
Like the fact that you're making this readily accessible to like people as young as like 12 or 13 is kind of ridiculous.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, schools can't even afford paper.
Yeah.
If there's parental locks on like Disney Plus, there should be parental locks on a cryogenic chamber in a school.
Thank you. I think we all agree.
I've spoken like a true mom.
Look, someone call someone is what I'm saying, because Ryler's
someone
dead.
Someone call someone.
Yeah. But managed to get her phone out and make a call in the meantime. Oh, did you notice that?
I did not. Wait,
he opened it and she's on her phone. Yeah, because she's Ryler.
Oh my God, you're right.
She's Ryler with the hot goss.
Who do you think she was calling?
Who was her last call? Who was her last call? I want to know.
911.
I don't know.
Ryler wouldn't have called 911.
Exactly. I feel like the average person would have been like maybe authorities, maybe their like mother or their loved one or something like that.
Yeah.
I feel like Ryler was making an appointment for
a blowout.
No, she was trying to get like tanned after this.
A spray tan.
Or calling her friend to say Millie's a vegetarian.
Yes. Yes.
A Vagitron.
You know, she was doing that right before. What if she was like, you know what, I'm going to die. I was already in this conversation. Let's get the tea this out here real quick. This needs to be known. Oh, fuck. So after that, Millie realizes that she has balls, quite literally, and that she's strong now. She now has balls and she is now strong.
Balls.
Yeah.
Strong.
Yeah.
She tries to befriend her buds Josh and Nyla as Vince Vaughn. It doesn't go so well at first because she's Vince Vaughn, and then she gets kicked in the balls because she has balls.
And that's when she realizes she has them, when they get kicked, right?
Yeah, usually when you get kicked in the balls, you realize that you have balls.
I could see that happening.
You know, 10 out of 10 always works.
Cool.
Her dialogue is insane right now. Balls. Cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, she gets kicked in the balls, which is a funny way to say that.
Yeah, I know, right?
So she gets kicked in the balls and throws Nyla across the room, and they end up in a long fight, and Millie Vaughn beats the shit out of both of them, like throws them all across the room, beats the fuck out of them. Especially Nyla, who gets her back rammed into the corner of a table. Like, Vince Vaughn, Millie as Vince Vaughn, pretty much grabs her in the palm of their hand and then just sends Nyla right into the corner of a table, which...
Full send.
I thought she died.
Yeah, she should have. Vince just kept yeeting everyone everywhere. It was just honestly the best part of the movie.
It's fucking Megan Fox's husband all over again. God. Getting yeeted across the forest.
Yep, yep.
Eventually, Millie gets through to them by doing a cheer dance, which was probably my favorite part of the movie. Vince Vaughn doing this cheer.
Yep. And their handshake that they end up doing is super cute.
Yeah, iconic, really.
And it's funny to see Vince Vaughn doing that.
And again, this is a moment where I think Rob Schneider would have been so perfect for this.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's so much better seeing Vince Vaughn do it, because I feel like they almost wrote it intentionally. Like, they hired Vince Vaughn and then were like, okay, we got to write in a cheer dance. Like, he has to do one.
What if we did both? I would like to see the same movie, but I want to see, I want them to, I know no one would buy it. I think that would be the good, the, like the better part of it. I think they should tell us that Rob Schneider and Vince Vaughn are twins. And they're killer twins, but don't try to make them look similar whatsoever. Keep them both in their natural habitat.
Are you thinking this like the movie Twins? You're probably not thinking that.
Oh, is just that Arnold?
Arnold Schwarzenegger and Danny DeVito?
Yes.
It's literally the same thing.
Yes, we should do that.
My idea was that we should have Vince Vaughn be the hot chick, and then we should have Rob Schneider be in this movie, but still have the original existing movies and then just compare their performances in both. See who did it better.
Okay. We could hire someone to do like a deep fake and just like put Vince Vaughn in the hot chick.
Fun. And then vice versa.
Fun. Great. Fun. Do it.
Yes. Thank you. Signed off. TM.
Did anyone catch that there was an implication that Vince Vaughn's dick is ginormous?
Yes, I did catch that.
Everyone at one time, yell out the size in inches. Everyone, best guess. Oh,
like an estimate?
We're all going to estimate Vince Vaughn's...
I don't have a lot of experience with this
shit.
It's
okay.
Neither
do I.
I'm just going
to... It's okay. All right, everyone. 3, 2, 1, 13 inches.
7.
You say 13?
Damn, Caleb.
He's 6'5".
A whole ass foot.
Yeah, oh, he's 6'5"?
But yeah, we just Googled it and I said... That's taller than John.
That is taller.
And then
than
I
John.
Explained our unit of measurement for tall things is John.
That's true. It's always John.
So what did you say 6?
Yeah.
I said 7. So
oh, okay, cool.
Drew?
Oh, I didn't have an answer.
I need an answer.
Okay. I would say probably like 2.
A chode.
Okay, maybe it's ginormous in girth. Maybe it's just like really, really yeah. thick. Like
sweet.
Yeah, it's not about the length.
I am leaving.
New guess. I think it's 2 inches long and it is 9 inches wide.
Oh Lord.
It's like one of those beer can months.
Yes.
Gross.
Yeah.
I'm literally leaving the chat.
Like an egg crate dick. Like
What?
You know, like the package, like an egg crate, like eggs come in. You know what I'm talking? That's what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about it. Is that called an egg crate or egg container?
Egg carton.
Egg carton.
There you go. But what?
Those are... You said it's like a 2-inch long dick and fucking...
Oh, you're saying where the eggs go.
Yeah, I'm just saying, like, is it the size of a bread box? It's the size of an egg carton.
Oh, the girth, you're saying. Okay. Yeah. Why are we talking about Vince Vaughn's peni?
I think we got to the bottom of it, or the top.
Vince Vaughn, you want to weigh in?
He's like, bitch.
Vince Vaughn, is it 6? Is it 7? Is it 2x9? 13. Or is it 13?
2x9. The correct answer is C.
So we find out from Google that Vince Vaughn's penis is actually 2x9.
Wait, what if they did get back to Vince Vaughn that we were estimating his dick size? Like this random podcast.
Guys, get it to him.
You can do it. I have faith in you.
Deliver this to Vince's doorstep.
I hope Vince Vaughn comes out after this and he admits that his penis is actually 2x9.
He's like, I don't know how they figured it out. These podcasts, they know everything.
He's like, I've been holding this in for years. But
literally.
He's holding it.
It's been pretty easy.
Hammerhead shark dick.
When RuPaul says you can untuck, Vince Vaughn says never.
We also figure out that Millie Kessler is a cock gobbler because it's written on the walls of the bathroom.
Yeah.
Drew, you look confused. You don't think Millie Kessler's a cock gobbler?
I just didn't see that part. So I just didn't know that happened.
So he's just taking your word for it.
Yeah. I thought it was a joke at first. I was like, oh, this is actually in the movie.
He's not here to argue that fact. No.
I'm here to tell you that if it's written on the wall, it's true. So apparently Millie Kessler is a cock gobbler, Drew.
So it is written, so it's been said.
So it is written, so it's been said, and he's going to marry a witch.
Amazing.
So it is written, so it is said.
And what was up with the kid knocking on the only occupied stall in the bathroom to take a shit? That made me so angry.
I don't know much about the interworkings of the male bathroom, so.
In any bathroom, if you only have stalls, you should know about this even more. If you're in a bathroom with only stalls... and only one stall is occupied, why are you knocking on that one?
Better than like dicking. I meant to say ducking. Still stuck on Vince Vaughn's peni. Better than like ducking your head down and then like making weird eye contact with the person in the stall in a weird way.
Why not just open an open one?
Yeah, I would just go to an open one. I'm going to be honest.
I try not to use public bathrooms if I can help it.
Ash,
so...
that isn't the question.
That's the experience.
Drew, can you weigh in?
I don't think I saw this scene.
Oh my God. <We've
been stopped. laughs> So back to my original answer. I don't know that happened.
Okay.
This must have been when I went to the bathroom.
Did you find out if you're a cock gobbler?
Sounds like you both had the same experience. Were you knocking on an occupied stall?
In the bathroom?
Yes.
Well, it was in my house, so.
Was it occupied?
It's only one stall.
So the answer is yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Lux was in there for a really long time. I had to get him out.
He takes his time, that Lux.
Lux actually does take his time. Shitting.
Thank you. Yeah. I like, can confirm.
Yeah.
So moving on, there's this teacher that we mentioned earlier that's been constantly roasting Millie, and this is about probably the third or fourth time he's being a dickhead to her. And while she has the brain of Vince Vaughn in Millie's body approaches this teacher. So they scuffle for a bit. He continues to roast her while they're scuffling. Like, they're kind of beating each other's asses. I would say he's kind of beating the shit out of Millie at this point, Vaughn Millie.
Yeah, he had a lot of built-up hatred for her.
Yeah, he was, like, ready to beat up this teenage girl, like, given the opportunity.
Not only ready, but, like, actively beating up a teenage girl.
Yeah.
Not only was he ready, he actually played out that scenario.
He did.
Well, he even had, like, taglines written down, ready to go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, specific to the situation.
That's what you get for fucking with me, Missy.
Yeah, he knew that she was going to be coming after him eventually.
He fantasized about that for a long time.
He definitely did. That teacher was fucked.
All the time he was like, I know she's going to run at me. I know I'm going to grab her, throw her into the wall and be like, hey, how's that wall taste, Millie?
He was watching old Buffy videos and he was like, I have to be witty before I throw her into a wall.
The brutal Buffy banter.
So he keeps roasting her, beating her ass, and then eventually Vince Vaughn has had enough of it. So Vince Vaughn stabs this dude in the neck with a screwdriver, and then he starts like waddling around, blood coming out everywhere, and then grabs the dude, puts him on a table saw, and then goes ahead and slices Mr. Mustache in half.
The best. And literally, this as the scene was going on, Drew was going, no.
Yeah, I didn't.
No.
I didn't enjoy this one. It wasn't my favorite.
And I'm like, I'm just like nodding like, yes.
I also loved this one. Yeah. I immediately, as soon as it started happening, instead of saying no, I was like, yes.
Go get him, girl.
Well, it's like the from Fear Street with the bread slicer.
It's exactly like that.
As someone who used to work with a bread slicer, I hated that scene because that was like my worst nightmare.
Oh. Yeah, you probably like thought about that a few times.
Like getting my hand stuck in it or something. But I don't anymore. I don't have to worry about that.
Because he lost both his hands.
Plot twist.
So after this, Vince and Millie's respective bodies see each other face to face, and Vince and Millie's body has a good idea. Just scream, because in this situation, he's the small blonde teenager, and Millie is the murderous Vince Vaughn in the eyes of every single person around them, except for Josh and Nyla.
Yeah.
We're following. So this starts a chase between the three dudes and the school police, and eventually leads to a chase between Millie's cop sister and the three dudes. I should probably just call her Charlene. Was that her name? I keep forgetting.
I think so. Charlene.
I think she called her Char. For sure.
Okay, that works. Char.
Charmander.
Yeah.
Charmin Ultra.
Cha-cha-cha. Char.
Millie, as Vince, runs into her mom's department store and ends up in a changing room. Talking to her mother.
In the scene?
Okay.
Wait, me first.
Okay.
This scene broke my heart. Her mom is so sweet and so demolished.
There always has to be a weird incest play when it comes to like Freaky Friday things. It's like, well, your cousin or your dad or someone's going to hit on you while you're in a different body. Like,
it is bound to happen.
They always have to go
is
there.
Is it though?
I feel like it doesn't always have to happen.
I'm like, I understand the sweet part of it being like it's her mom and whatever, but I'm like, this is a full. She could probably see him through the door because he's giant, and like you're having this conversation. What if someone walked in the changing room and you're just having this conversation through the door? I don't know. I didn't enjoy this scene.
Well, it was a very sad, like sentimental conversation of how her husband was killed and how she's very lonely.
It just was very long. It was too long. It was too long of a scene.
I'll give you that. The scene went on for far too long.
And to be fair, when me and Elena did Happy Death Day 2 a while back, my biggest complaint was that they had like this really long, drawn-out thing about her mom being dead and it being really sad and blah, blah, blah.
It was just out of nowhere.
I think we both were kind of like, eh. It kind of brought everything down a little bit.
Yeah, it just took away from like the fun horror things that are going on. It's like, okay, yeah, I get it. Your parents gone. It's sad. I'm not here for that right now. Like, I'm not.
I know. I'm like, come on. Let's bring you to a bread slicer and slice your face open. Like, let's go.
Question, though. Did the butcher kill Millie's dad?
I don't think. I think it was unrelated. I think it was like a car accident. Or was it a murder?
Oh, no. She said he was killed. And then I was like, did the butcher kill Millie's dad? And I just missed that somehow.
No, I think it was an accident.
That wasn't a part
of. Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, bye.
See ya. Yeah. See you later. So all this stuff ends when Nyla and Josh pull up and give Millie Vaughn some sportsman mask, and they make a comment about how everyone knows him. I'm not going to say his name. Was it Aaron Rodgers? I don't care. Sports!
Yeah, you've come to the wrong place.
I thought it was just a plain man face.
Thank you.
I thought it was a Nixon mask at first. And then
That's actually what I thought, too.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie. It looked horrifying, so whoever it was supposed to be, I don't think it was. Yeah, and they make a joke about how everyone knows him. I don't get how they fully thought this was a plausible idea, because they make one thing where they're like, oh, I don't even like sports, but I know who he is. And I'm sitting there as someone who doesn't like sports going, yeah.
Can I also ask another question? Why would the butcher need to wear a mask in public? Like, how would people know what he looks like? Because he wears a mask while killing people.
I didn't even get how people knew who he was to begin with.
Because I think the whole thing is like...
Did he escape?
After she got stabbed, she went to the police and she saw his face and she went to the police station afterwards. So like...
All right. That's why you're here.
That's true.
That'll do.
That'll do.
But yeah, Aaron Rodgers was random. Aaron Rodgers could pass me on the street and I wouldn't even know it was him. Was he football?
Honestly, same.
He is football, right?
He is football.
Green Bay.
He is football.
Green Bay?
Yeah.
Hey.
Yeah.
I only know that because we have a Green Bay Packers fan in the family.
He is, because I think all of our Patriots people hate on the one Green Bay person because of Aaron Rodgers on the team.
You're right.
Because I think Aaron Rodgers might suck.
Yeah, and he's like a dick.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't think he's a great guy.
No.
That's what I meant by, I didn't care if he was good at football or not. Yeah. That's what I meant by suck.
Yeah, I figured.
So that was our sports segment.
Aaron Rodgers could walk up to me holding a picture of himself that says, I am Aaron Rodgers, and I'd probably still confuse him for just any guy.
Yeah, same.
So
I'm with you.
On the Vincent Millie's body side of things, she's telling football players that they dry her up in the vaginal region, which means that she does not like them, which really bruises their egos. I guess you shouldn't do that to football players. It seems to hurt them.
Yeah, don't do that to football players.
Or men in general.
Don't hurt the ego.
They're fragile.
The egos are, you know, they're really tender.
Tender.
They're also trying to lure the other football player that the real Millie has a crush on into a... murder. Pretty much every time Vince is luring someone around, he's trying to murder them.
Yeah.
This guy is named Booker, which really, we've seen Booker throughout the movie. He's the love interest. He's like the kid that's like kind of defending her in class when this mustache teacher is ripping on her and all this stuff. But he isn't really that important until, I'd say, right around now in the movie, right?
Yeah, he becomes randomly important.
Yeah, he did not matter. Like, they mentioned him before. They're like, oh, I have a crush on him. Booker, the...
Didn't know his name.
They mentioned it at one point, and I forgot they mentioned it until they mentioned the fact that they mentioned it.
Mention it all.
And I was like, oh, okay, I get it. You got to mention.
You got to mention.
But Booker is now, like, a main character. He damn near gets killed. Doesn't matter, and would have never cared. So Millie shows up and knocks out Vince Vaughn in Millie's body before he gets box cluttered.
Oh, I think they say something like you almost like just like Millie in Vince Vaughn's body saves Booker.
Yes.
By entering the chat.
Yes. Thankfully, Millie and her new Vince Vaughn super strength start to chase Booker. And when Booker starts to get away, she slams through a wall and then tackles him. There's a lot of slamming through walls and tackling going on.
As there should be.
So since two people are knocked out, they take the knocked out people to a house to get tied up, as you do. And when Booker wakes up, Millie and Vince Vaughn's body tries to convince him that he's Millie. But as she is trying to explain, the voice of Millie is screaming for help, which understandably makes it very confusing for anyone involved.
I don't know if you guys already said something about this, but when Millie yeeted fucking Booker against the wall, that was the hardest I laughed all movie.
You really like people getting thrown against walls, huh?
I don't know, just the way Vince Vaughn was doing it in this movie was hilarious.
It did it for me.
Vince Vaughn does throw a lot of people, and it's always fun. So I get you.
I mean, he's a large man, so it's just kind of fun to watch him, like, flop people around.
So we have another real emotional, cutesy scene where Millie convinces Booker that this 6'5 man is actually the girl that Booker's in love with by reciting a poem. Because, you know, Millie left a poem in his locker.
Yeah, that part was really cute, but also so weirdly uncomfortable because Vince Vaughn is just reciting the poem to Booker, and you can tell Booker is just like, what? But then he likes it. Also, there's a scene that happens later that I'm like, that would literally never happen.
Are you talking about when Booker makes out with Vince Vaughn?
Yeah, no, that would never happen.
Yeah.
It was interesting. I liked it, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I liked it. It was interesting, but it would never happen.
I liked his acceptance of her being in a grown man's body.
I was just going to say that. Like, I like that Booker, like, wasn't ashamed. It was just like, you know what? I still fuck. You might be Vince Vaughn, but you know what? You're still you on the inside. You're in
there. Yeah, you're in there somewhere. I can tell. Get it, Booker.
I mean, guys, let's just all put ourselves in this situation, you know?
No thank you.
Guys, wait, hold on. Just you give it a chance. Let's just all put ourselves. Ash, Drew is trapped in Vince Vaughn's body. Can't get out, but it's Drew.
Yeah, well, that's different, though.
It's Drew, so what do you do?
No, it's different because I find Vince Vaughn attractive. So, like, of course I'd kiss him if, like, it's Vince Vaughn's body in Drew's face. Like,
I didn't know you found Vince Vaughn attractive. Yeah. Did you say this?
Do you find Vince Vaughn attractive, Drew?
I don't think I need to answer that.
Okay, Elena, do you find Vince Vaughn attractive?
I think Vince Vaughn is kind of attractive.
Well, that's the thing. I'm not saying, like, he's on my, like, list or anything. I'm just saying, like, he's a good-looking man. Like, and sure, like, I'll kiss a good-looking man.
Well, maybe this doesn't work if everyone just thinks Vince Vaughn is hot. I thought Vince Vaughn was like...
Just like, wait, what?
Well, like, if you're in their body.
But sure, I'll kiss a good-looking man.
If I should have followed it up with, if Drew is trapped in their body.
Well, see...
I do kiss a good-looking man every day.
Well, see, Ash, now I don't see why you were confused and why you think this whole situation wouldn't happen. Apparently, we're like, it seems like everyone in this room is okay with Vince Vaughn.
But was Booker...
Yeah, Booker was fine with Vince Vaughn.
It seems like he was.
No, but then he wasn't because he said, let's kiss when your hand isn't bigger than my face.
Yeah, well.
You could always just try everything once. That's all you gotta do.
Give it a shot.
Yeah.
My whole point was that, like, most high school boys wouldn't kiss Vince Vaughn if their girlfriend was trapped in Vince Vaughn's body. That I know of.
Booker's different. Booker is Vince Vaughn positive.
Okay.
Very inclusive of
Vaughn. That settles that.
Yeah, I love that, like, as they're plotting about what they need to do, because they're like, okay, how are we going to get fucking Millie back into her body and Vince Vaughn back into his body and all this, blah, blah, blah. And someone points at Millie and they say she, and then Nyla goes, come on, dude, pronouns.
Yeah, it was Booker. Booker goes, what are we going to do about him? And she was like, pronouns. I'm like, oh, God.
He's lowering in there. That's a trap.
Then we better get moving.
Well, what about her?
Pronouns.
Christ, what about him?
My mom's out of town until Monday.
Yeah, no, I don't think it's a good idea to leave him here.
So they all decide to leave Josh behind to watch Vince Vaughn in Millie's body while they execute their plan. And they all head to the police station to a...
So they head to the police station because they're trying to get that that knife. Because they found out on Google when they Googled what the knife was that if they get it back before midnight and stab Vince Vaughn, their bodies will switch back.
Yes, and the police are currently holding it as evidence. That's right.
In a very loosely open container.
Not shocking.
Yeah, kind of just in the middle of the police station, it looked like, too. Like, it's not in an evidence room. It's just in the middle of the station.
Yeah, in a container that you can see through.
Listen, the fact that they still had it is great, great work.
I was literally just going to say the amount of times that we've found, like, and they just lost that evidence. That, like, critical evidence to the case. So, like, this is great. They still have it.
Well, they're losing it because Josh and Nyla are fucking breaking in to steal it.
But guess what? They don't lose it.
You're kind of right.
Right away, at least.
Yeah, not immediately. So Nyla goes inside while Booker and Millie stay in the car, and they start to talk about Millie's experience being a man thus far. You know, she likes that she's strong, and is this when they kiss, or was it a little bit after?
Yeah, it was.
Can I just say that I really liked this part because I felt like it was like a social commentary that I just like really appreciated.
Okay, what'd you like about it?
Well, because she said like she feels bolder in a man's body and like she's not as scared and stuff. And I feel like more people should probably think about the fact that that's a privilege.
Period.
Especially today, of all days, to think about things.
Honestly, like legitimately a lot. I mean, I guess people don't know what's happening during the time of the recording of this, but some really unfortunate laws were just fucked.
By some fucking ghouls that don't matter.
Yep.
It's a lot of bad things going on in the world.
But I really liked that they made that special nod to women.
I did too.
So on the other side of things, Josh is watching, you know, Vince and Millie's body. They're all tied up and whatnot. And Josh's mom comes home. And everything that happens with the mom and the whole, like, role-playing situation is fucking hilarious through and through.
Also, is it Josh? The friend?
Yes.
he was watching The Real Housewives, like, as he's supposed to be watching Millie, and I was dying.
That was amazing.
We knew exactly what episode he was watching. We were like, great choice. But and then when the mom comes in and he's saying, like, the whole role play thing, because she's, like, tied up, and he's like, we're role playing. And she's like, Joshua. And then he says, I'm straight. And she's like, listen, we both know that you're not straight.
You got to build that up a little better, because the whole thing is so much funnier, because he's sitting there and she's like, isn't role playing like a sex thing? And he goes like, yeah, guess it is. I guess you're right. She goes, OK, so what's happening? And he goes, Mom, I have to tell you something. And like it gets all like quieted, like, you know, eases down. It's like, OK, I'm straight. If you think about it, they're kind of just reversing everything in this movie. Yeah. It's like, hey, here we go.
I love it.
But at the police station, Nyla almost gets the knife, but then Millie's sister shows up and apprehends her. More on that later. So there's a point where Millie and Vince's body is making out with Booker. We already spoke about all that, so we'll skip over that. This gets interrupted when Vince in Millie's body shows up to the police station, and her sister obviously believes her over anyone. And it also doesn't help when Millie as Vince Vaughn shows up and Char gets trigger happy at the sight of the killer.
I like when she's just like barreling her into that cell and she's like, I'm sorry. And then does she do like peace at one point, or she does something like as she's leaving. She's like, I gotta go.
She does, because she like says a few, she's like, I'm sorry for like killing your gerbil when we were really young and this, that, and blah, blah, blah. And then she goes, peace out, dude.
Yep. And she's like trying to convince her that she's actually Millie.
Yeah, then now Millie is driving off Vince Vaughn as Millie and nearly runs over Josh. But Josh is like just showing up to the situation after, you know, everything went down. So still doesn't really realize what's going on. Leave the police station because Millie's gone. They got to go search elsewhere. So we're just dipping out. And then we're back to a party that I believe Millie was at, right? Millie goes back to the party.
Yep, because it was Vince Vaughn in Millie's body's idea that these kids have this party here. Like, he was trying to trap them.
It was like at an old mill. Millie in the mill. Millie in the mill.
So at this party, that one dude who was told that he makes people's vaginas drier than deserts, he shows up. That guy. I didn't know how to explain him. I don't know if we ever got a name. That's the guy.
He is that guy.
I think that's a great way to explain him.
Well, he shows up. He flexes. He tries to redeem himself by sexing Millie. But when he asks her to follow him, Vince's Millie ends up in an alleyway with three douchebag jock dudes literally trying to assault her. So, not great.
But she is not there for that shit.
No, she is not. But at first, she's going to beat their asses. But before she beats their asses, they go, are you good at math, Millie? Because the way I see it, you have three holes, so it all adds up. Like, they're really going into the debauchery on this one.
Yeah, it was very uncomfortable to see this. I was like, oh, you're talking about, like, gang raping her. That's horrific.
They're really showing how fragile the male ego is, though. They're like, okay, she told this guy that he doesn't turn her on. So he got his boys, and they're all going to assault her. Okay, wow.
Yeah.
Men are men.
Men are men.
Men be men.
They do be menning. So she breaks a bottle over one of their heads, slits the other one's throat, and then she finds a convenient chainsaw and then slices through the penis of the last one. I don't know why that chainsaw was there, but, you know, she found a chainsaw.
Thank you. They're just like, well, they're at an old mill, so I guess like a chainsaw would be at an old mill.
Okay, yeah, I guess that's fair.
I was gonna say, I don't know if an old chainsaw would, it was there, I guess.
What's like an old mill?
I don't,
it's like an abandoned old mill.
Mill, but what's a mill? Is it a mill? Like,
there's
it's
a
got
mill
like the water
in the middle
wheel
of Maynard.
That's great, but what is a mill?
It used to be used for things.
For what?
Med, they make, like, you make things in mills.
What do you make in a mill?
Just, there's different reasons for different mills.
A sawmill.
Yeah. All right, so a chainsaw might have a place at a mill.
Isn't there, like, grain at a mill?
Yeah.
Well, there's, like, water wheels.
Yeah, like water wheels.
Mill.
Actually, I think where the Sanderson sisters lived, it was a mill.
Yeah, I think it was.
I don't know if it was a mill. I think the water wheel was for, like, their electricity back then.
Oh.
Mill.
Well, then I still don't know what a mill is.
What's a mill?
Mill.
What's a mill anyway?
What the mill?
Mill.
I know Meek Mill.
Mill.
You know what rhymes with mill?
Millie.
Millie.
And hey! Millie and Booker.
Doesn't rhyme. Doesn't rhyme at all, though, actually. Millie, there's even extra syllables.
I'm just trying to bring it back. Trying to loop us back.
You know what rhymes with mill? Millie.
I think it does.
You know what rhymes with Millie? Vanilli. And they call her that in this movie that we should get back to.
So Millie and Booker come across the aftermath of what just went on, and right on the other side of the wall, some other jock is trying to assault Josh, and Vaughn as Millie somehow breaks through a wall and hooks him in the neck. They keep doing this thing where they're breaking through walls, but I get it a little bit when it's Vince Vaughn, because I'm like, okay, yeah, Jason breaks through walls and shit sometimes, you know, I get it. But when Millie starts breaking through walls, it kind of throws me off.
Well, she has... Yeah, I don't know. I was gonna say she has Vince Vaughn's strength because she is Vince Vaughn, but she doesn't at all because we like realize that she doesn't.
A few times I kind of feel like they're doing that because, I don't know, I will get to it. I think I wrote something down about that in like a little bit.
Well, just quickly, I agree with you. Like, I think they are doing that. And then later on, they don't keep doing that. And it's confusing.
Okay, yes. I feel like I wrote something down. Well, so we'll probably get back to that. If we don't, just all know right. that we have that feeling, audience.
Cool.
So can we talk about the cop that Millie as Vaughn knocked out while she was trying to stab herself, as she put it?
Yeah.
Because Millie hit the cop with a slight shoulder, and then he was fully knocked out.
It's his first day on the job.
Like, I would say that cop got flicked on the shoulder and then was knocked out cold on the ground, like slumped.
I would say the exact same. And I would say, should have had a V8.
Fair. Reasonable. Accurate. Yeah. Moving
you
on.
You know, he should have.
So Vaughn as Millie gets away.
Fancy Vaughn.
So Vaughn as Millie gets away, and a small chase starts until Vaughn as Millie gets tackled by Nyla and Josh, which, by the way, so this is where I had those thoughts. I thought the Vaughn body was faster, but then right here, it seemed like it was just a mindset, because in the beginning, we have the opposite, you know?
And then later on, we do too, like way later, like right at the end.
Yeah, so I don't know. They're kind of just, they choose when one of them's faster than the other.
Maybe it's just like pure rage, adrenaline.
Because,
you know, like moms can like lift cars off of their babies and shit when adrenaline hits. So like maybe she just gets a rush and it's like, let's go.
Well, where was that adrenaline when Millie got stabbed the first time? Like she was...
I mean... It maybe took a couple of times to get it going. And now she feels good. She feels like it's there and she's ready to go.
Yeah, you got
to
get all flowing.
It was a slow build.
Yeah. Slow burn. So anyway, after the tackling, Millie is about to stab Vaughn with a red eye glowing knife. But then the 24-hour mark alarm starts ringing. But I guess that wasn't the case and they didn't miss the cutoff, because apparently at one point in the movie, Booker said that if you set your watch 5 minutes ahead, it'll save your ass. And they flash back to this as if this was something I was supposed to remember. Did anyone else remember that before they mentioned this?
I didn't even think it had actually happened.
Yeah. I still don't believe that it happened.
I was like, you guys deleted that scene and you actually forgot.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't remember that. When would he have said that to anyone?
I think it was when it was the scene in the beginning where she was in the classroom with the asshole teacher.
Even became a character that we would.
Yeah,
remember.
She was late. It was his like first words. And he said she was getting shit for being late. And he was like, set your watch 5 minutes ahead.
That's stupid.
Which actually works. It's what I do for work. So
I mean, yeah, that is a good tactic, but that's stupid. I hate when you like do a callback to something that isn't a main character thing or that isn't notable that I would never remember, because it's like, okay, you just basically the whole outcome of this movie was based off of that one statement in that one scene, and I'm like, I don't remember that at all.
I know that was a lot.
Yeah, so that was kind of, but whatever. Anyone want to take it for what happens after Millie stabs Vaughn and they supposedly switch back?
The movie should have ended here. It's so annoying. And I thought of you because I knew you would feel the same. There was no reason to continue it. So they load him up into the ambulance.
Yes.
And he's like driving, like Vince Vaughn ass himself now is driving away. And the two EMTs are like having like a silly discussion with each other. And then does he like slip off that thing from his finger? They yes. act like you should know what happened there.
They're definitely implying that he slipped it off because they think his heart rate like stops completely and they go, oh, well, he's dead. Which yeah. also I don't get why if it's all based off of just this little heart monitor that's on his finger, why wouldn't they double check like you're fucking
right? Yeah. Like, aren't there like vitals you can take or something? Yeah. Like, that's just not like the pulse thing.
The amount of times that those little things fall off all the time and they're just like, oh, I'll put it back on.
Yeah.
Like, they would never just take that as like, well, that's it.
I guess he's dead.
Yeah, yeah. I guess we're not going to check.
But I guess we can assume that he kills both of them anyway. So, like, whatever.
Can we, though? Because honestly, okay, I get where you're getting to because he's not in the ambulance anymore. He's going to escape. There's going to be a little more to this. They never show us how he escapes or like what happened. Like, did they bring him to the morgue? Did he just walk out? Like, I don't get what happened.
I think since he's the butcher, you're just supposed to be like, well, he butchered them. But and then like while that's happening, Millie and Booker, they're like kiss again. And it's supposed to be yeah. really romantic. But I honestly don't give a shit about
it. It's like
of
that
them.
Typical ending scene of a movie where the main character's sitting in the back of an ambulance. Like,
yep.
Look at you, Bubba. Yes. Making fun of horror movie tropes.
It's like the time the two people were sitting in the back of the ambulance and Texas Chainsaw and Halloween and Friday the 13th and Nightmare on Elm Street, but all mixed together.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And all of the masks showed up.
Where I've seen it.
I couldn't put my finger on it.
I think that'll forever be my favorite anecdote. Fuck. So I guess they, you know, they switch back all this. What exactly part?
So then she gets home.
She gets home.
I felt like this was a scene like the writers were like, oh, we didn't have enough of the mom and the sister. And yeah. they just like threw this in at the end.
Honestly, yeah.
Yeah.
Because we pretty much finish up right here. But before we do, you know, Vin Fawn isn't dead. He's inside of Millie's house, which, yeah, I get. I don't get how he got there. I don't get anything else, but, you know, it's fine. But Char tries to shoot him, fails. Millie's mom, beat up. Millie, almost killed. Right up until Millie kicks Vince Vaughn in the balls because, you know, she's experienced balls. She knows that you can kick someone in the balls now. I love that this movie is using balls as, like, something you have to discover. They're like, wait, did you know all along you could right. have kicked someone in the balls? It's like, I think everyone knows that.
We all know that. Yeah,
we're all pretty aware of that.
But that's the other thing, though, because they have this whole discussion, because now Vince Vaughn in his own body is like very much taking over Millie in her body. And he's like, yeah, Millie, like I learned a lot while I was in your body, like because you're so tiny and fragile and you can't handle anything. And it's like, yeah, exactly. But why were there times where she could jump through a fucking wall then?
Literally.
Literally. That's like a little bit of what I was talking about earlier.
And then it just falls apart because Millie's like, I learned a lot about your body too. You have balls.
Yep.
So basically, he ends up getting killed because they vampire stake him through the heart. And then Millie says, you know what? I am a piece. Which again, I remember someone saying that to her at some point in the movie.
It was a literally. Piece? Yeah. Like, it's right as they're walking into the building. I think it's Nyla says, like, you're a piece, Millie.
Terrible callbacks, I will say. That is something that this movie did not get right.
Like, you're a piece? A piece of what?
Like a dime piece? Like,
that's what we used to say.
Yeah.
Not a piece, though. Because you could be any piece. You could be a nickel piece, and that's not a compliment.
That's like, in high school, I went to high school with a girl that had 9 fingers, and the guys would say she's a 9. Instead
That's
of a dime.
Really fucked.
Wow.
And also not clever at all.
It's the worst.
I would argue that it's a little clever.
It's not clever at all. That's just so on the nose. That's just
sometimes being clever is about being on the nose, you know? Sometimes
yeah. You're not wrong there.
Sometimes people aren't looking right in front of them, but you know, whoever looked at her was looking right at her, apparently.
All right. Let's not give those assholes credit for calling her out on her, like sad issue, you know?
Oh, fuck. So, I guess Vince Vaughn was a vampire. He's dead now.
Okay, wait. That's now. The other thing. Why does she have to stab him through the heart? Was he a vampire?
I don't I just thought it was very convenient that they had a perfect steak laying around.
Yeah, I don't. Well, I think the table broke.
I know, but it just like it, when my table breaks, it's not gonna make a perfect steak. You know, it just seems very convenient.
Again, very Buffy.
Yes.
The Vampire Slayer. In fact, in the first episode, she's in the bronze. She walks by a stool. She snaps stool leg, and it is the perfect steak. So, just saying.
Yeah.
Is Sarah Michelle Gellar the real killer here? I don't know.
I would have enjoyed it if she was the lead. But it's okay.
Oh, hell yeah.
I enjoyed this movie enough. Okay, so we had 11 kills in Freaky. That's the end of Freaky. It kind of ends abruptly on a bad callback. The last line is a very bad callback, which kind of bugs me, but
yeah.
As far as callbacks go, I don't think it went over well. Okay, what is everyone rating Freaky? Drew, you go first since you're the guest.
I would say I would give it probably like a 5.
Wait, no, it's about a 5.
Oh.
I was like, no, you're wrong.
So in that case, I'll give it a 3. Yeah, it definitely was okay. I'm not going to like run to go watch it again. But, you know, I like Vince Vaughn. It definitely isn't my favorite Vince Vaughn movie. It didn't surpass 4 Christmases, but it's good.
It'll do.
Full circle.
So I'd usually let you guys go first right now, but me and Drew have the same rating, so I'm going to go ahead and just say, and the exact same reasoning, so I just want to like tag onto that. I would say I agree with every single thing that Drew said, except it's no Wedding Crashers.
So I'm actually harsher than the both of you, which never happens. I was going to say a 2.5 because I wouldn't watch this again.
I don't think I would either, personally.
And the only thing that really like makes it, like the only character that I actually liked and cared about was Vince Vaughn as Millie. And then like when Millie was back like as herself, I was just like, I don't really care about you.
Wait, so you didn't like Vince Vaughn, like the physical being of Vince Vaughn? You like Vince Vaughn when he was in Millie's body?
No, like I liked when
Millie was in Vince Vaughn's
body. Millie was in Vince Vaughn's body.
I will say my least favorite part about this movie is having to discuss this movie and getting myself in the mindset where I know who's in whose fucking body at any given moment.
Who is that? And you know what? I actually am going, I'm surprised that you said that because I was going to give it a 2.5 as well.
Wow.
Hey.
Because I would not watch it again. No. And I also really just like Vince Vaughn and I liked the kills. They were fun. But the dialogue was not like my favorite. And that's like a big deal for me. It's funny because I keep thinking like I have no relation to my other ratings when I rate a movie. Like I don't
Neither
know what
do
else
I.
I've rated a 2.5 and whether it tracks or not.
I'm so glad you said that because I was thinking in my head, I was like, I'm going to give this a 2.5. And then I was like trying to think of other movies I've given a 2.5, but I couldn't think of any.
But yeah, I think 2.5 is fair.
I think it is too. Honestly, I was going to give it about a 2.5, but then I guess in relation to what you guys were just talking about, I looked at my ratings for Happy Death Day and Happy Death Day 2, and I noticed I gave Happy Death Day a 4, and I give Happy Death Day 2 a 2, and I feel like this is right in, I felt like, I was like, yeah, this is right in the middle. Like, I feel like I like Happy Death Day, I like this, and then I like Happy Death Day 2 the least. So I was just like, yeah, okay, fair. 3. It's right in the middle of those.
It makes sense.
But yeah, I agree with all of that, with everything that all of you guys said. I wouldn't watch it again, but it was fun watching Vince Vaughn prance around and like, you know, do cheers and stuff. I think I would watch those parts again if it's just like on in the background, you know, but
the idea was fun too.
Yeah. So the characters, what would you guys rate all of the characters? Drew, we're just going to do like a rating for like different segments of the like different parts of the movie aspects, blah, blah, blah.
So what do you mean, like, rate each character?
Not each of them, just, like, overall, just as, like, characters in the movie, like, how well do you think all of it fit together, 1 out of 5?
I mean, Vince Vaughn definitely is the best. He was the best in the movie. I think we've already made that clear. But I would give it, like, a 2.
Yeah.
Solid, like, character development.
I was also going to give it a 2.
Hard agree.
I was also going to give it a 2.
Hard agree. Very solid 2. It's like, Vince Vaughn is pretty awesome, but like, is he that awesome that he brings up every other person in this movie? No. That doesn't happen.
Nope.
Did the story make sense? I mean, yeah, it's like, it's sort of. I mean, they didn't explain anything, I guess it's easy to follow. It depends on what the question is, I guess. Like, what part of the story made sense? Is it Freaky Friday, but horror? Yeah, pretty much. Like, I would say in that sense, yeah. It makes sense.
Yeah.
So,
It didn't really need to make... I guess it's like it made enough sense.
I was going to say, I feel like it was predictable. Like, you knew it was how it was going to end.
Because it's like you've seen Freaky Friday.
Yeah, like it's a cheesy story. Does it need to be explained that much? I feel like if they over-explained it, it would be kind of annoying, so I get why they didn't.
Mm.
I don't know. I guess I just give it like a... I give it a 3 or 4. I don't know exactly where. It's just, it's fine, you know?
Yeah.
I don't need to think about that part in this movie.
No. Three feels like a C to me, so that feels pretty good.
The kills, though, I would give the kills like a 4 or 5. I would say the kills are really good.
Honestly, I'm going to give the kills a 5 because I loved all of them.
Yeah, I would give them a 5. They were fun.
Yeah, I had my eyes closed for majority of them. Like, so. I was not a fan of the slice and of
so good.
The,
so good. The wine bottle.
The wine bottle.
I loved the wine bottle.
I thought we were going to lose Drew within the first 5 minutes because of the wine bottle.
Yeah. Yeah. The gore level is the selling point for me.
It's the gore and the Vaughn.
Yeah.
Wait, the gore level is the
selling
point.
Like, I'm saying that
you?
If it's a very gory movie, I'm more inclined to not.
Oh, gotcha.
Like, Scream is fine because it's not gory, but it, you know, like Scream, like I love Scream, but like, you know. I'm not making sense.
Scream is pretty gory.
I said it like 5 times in 5 seconds.
Just plugging the podcast.
Yeah,
thank you.
Yeah.
I'm plugging the podcast on the podcast. Thanks for letting the people listening to this show know that this show exists. What would
thanks
we be?
Thanks for letting the people know that this show exists on this show.
I just wanted people to know the name of the podcast.
No, maybe they forgot.
Yeah, you know, it could be queued up already.
Okay, so now we can focus on Vaughn on his own. Let's rate the killer. I'm gonna give him a 3.
Yeah, I don't know a lot about him, so
like, he's fine.
I'm gonna give him like a 2, I feel, because I'm just like, I don't even know who you are, why you're doing this, or what you're even doing this with, and like what the purpose of it
I
all
feel
is.
Like I feel like the directors were like, yo, it would be hilarious watching Vince Vaughn act like a teenage girl, and then they just built the whole movie around that
idea. I think that too.
Agreed.
But you know what I'll say, I would give him a 3 based off of just like the beginning. Just like his movements in the beginning, I'm like, sure, you get a 3.
All right, I'll give you that.
Yeah, and if I'm putting into account that it's just Vince Vaughn as a killer, I could go up to 4. Like, I can go higher.
Yeah. Oh yeah, I could go higher.
What do you guys think about the pacing of the movie?
I think overall it wasn't bad. I just think that there's like a few scenes, and I think we touched upon it when we were talking about the mom in the dressing room. I think there's a few scenes that could have been shortened, and I was kind of annoyed that the end, like, I don't like when movies end twice.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It already ended when it could have ended like in the ambulance, and I would have been happy about it. In fact, I was kind of annoyed that we got back to her house. I was like, I thought we were done here.
Yeah, I feel you. I'd give it, I think overall the pacing, I'd give it like a 3.5. Like, it was paced pretty well, but it did drag a few times, but yeah, it's fine.
Yeah, I could go there.
And thank you so much to Ethan Hurt for making our intro music. You can find all of his stuff at www.ethanhurt.com. And then thank you to Kyle Herman for our outro music. You can find him by searching Kyle Herman. He's on all the stuff, and yeah, it's good stuff. Check out our other podcasts. Ash and Elena host the best true crime podcast in the world. It's called Morbid, a True Crime Podcast. It has true crime in the name, so you know it's a podcast about true crime, and it's good. I host a horror...
Actually, we've rebranded, and it's just Morbid.
You've rebranded? Is that really a thing?
Yeah.
When did this happen?
Because we're doing like more spooky stuff, like added in now and stuff, and we're like branching it out a little bit.
So Morbid is Morbid. Go check it out. And
all spooky things.
And I host a horror movie podcast called Horror Soup, which it's called a horror movie podcast. Not like what I just said a second ago. Oh, that's a true crime pod. Things can be called different things, and they're still things, and they're still good. So go listen to all those things. It's good things. And you can find our Patreon at patreon.com/screampodcast. That's where we do the bonus episodes and the polls and all that other stuff. And find us on social medias on Instagram at Scream Podcast, Twitter at The Scream Pod. Our website is www.thescreampodcast.com. And then, movie requests to horrormovierequests@yahoo.com. Love, stories, inquiries, everything else, screampodcast@yahoo.com. And this show is Vince Vaughn.
This show is a piece.
This show is Vince Vaughn's penis size.
This show is Vince Vaughn and Reese Witherspoon's hatred for each other.
This show is also a cock gobbler.
True. I have nothing else.
True. Selena and Caleb, they met through some tweets. Exchanged them digits, now life is so sweet. Zooming all the time to record new episodes. Slanging the jokes to make our heads all explode. On PCP, I'm trapped inside a VHS. Scream, baby, scream, you know who do it the best. Through Anna's eyes, the team is ready to go. Fighting round the world, shout out to Russell Crowe. Oh, space penis and endless corn. I've wanted the scream since the day I was born. Best friends ever, truly the greatest team. Eggs, 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 we just living the dream. Space penis and endless corn. I've wanted the scream since the day I was born. Best friends ever, truly the greatest team. Eggs, 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 we just living the dream. Internet homies, yeah, we tight like that. You wanna mess with scream? Well, we might fight back. I'm still in that VHS, bad drug experience. A window that is secret. Johnny Depp, are you hearing this? We top notch, podcasting the day away. What you say? Friendship on full display. My penis is in space, if you think that is odd. I'm wishing for endless corn and eggs for the squad, Space penis and endless corn. I've wanted the scream since the day I was born. Best friends ever, truly the greatest team. Eggs, 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 we just living the dream. Space penis and endless corn. I've wanted the scream since the day I was born. Best friends ever, truly the greatest team. Eggs, 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 we just living the dream. Space penis and endless corn. I've wanted the scream since the day I was born. Best friends ever, truly the greatest team. Eggs, 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 we just living the dream. Space penis and endless corn. I've wanted the scream since the day I was born. Best friends ever, truly the greatest team. Eggs, 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 we just living the dream. Since the day I was born. Best friends ever, truly the greatest team. Eggs, 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 we just living the dream. Space penis and endless corn. I've wanted the scream since the day I was born. Best friends ever, truly the greatest team. Eggs, 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 we just living the dream.
If you like Scream, you can listen early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music. Before you go, tell us about yourself by filling out a short survey at wondery.com/survey. Welcome to the small town of Chinook, where faith runs deep and secrets run dark. In this new crime thriller, religion and crime collide when this small Montana community is rocked by a gruesome murder. As the town is whipped into a frenzy, everyone is quick to point their fingers at a drug-addicted teenager. But local deputy Ruth Vogel isn't convinced. She suspects connections to a powerful religious group. Enter federal agent V.B. Lauro, who has been investigating a local church for possible criminal activity. She and Ruth form an unlikely partnership to catch the killer, unearthing secrets that leave Ruth torn between her duty to the law, her religious convictions, and her very own family. But something more sinister than murder is afoot, and someone's watching Ruth. With an all-star cast led by Emmy Award nominee Sanaa Lathan and Star Wars Kelly Marie Tran, Chinook plunges listeners into the dark underbelly of a small town where the lines between truth and deception are blurred, and even the most devout are not who they seem. Chinook is available to listen to now exclusively with your Wondery Plus subscription. You can subscribe to Wondery Plus on the Wondery app, Apple Podcasts, or Spotify.